For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show, sponsored by Pitchero. Running your club online should be simple, so start for free. Pitchero trial today and see what a Pitchero website can do for you and your club. I'm Dave Anderson, sitting in for Caroline Barker. The boss is away this week, so unfortunately you get me. But to add to my team, we've actually come to Northwood Football Club, one of my old clubs, and I'm delighted to say that the chairman Ian Borry's in the studio with us. Ian.
Morning, Dave.
Morning, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, good to see you. We'll get to you in a minute, but I'll bring in my old mucker from up north. Swampy should be on the line. Swamps, you there?
Hello.
There was a time delay there, Swampy, as if you were in Australia.
No, I'm definitely here. Actually, I've just had my breakfast, a nice northern breakfast, vegetarian sushi.
Oh, lovely! Well, to be fair, we've been spoiled here by Ian and the staff, so we've had tea and cakes and all sorts of stuff, you know.
Fantastic!
And it's that sort of time, Swampy. It's nitty gritty time of the season, you know, where you know, some people are ready up, some people are ready down. Playoffs coming, and we're going to sort of talk about all of it. I just wanted to come on to Ian first, if I may, Ian. You know, coming back to one of my old clubs, I must say it looks brilliant in here. The way you've sort of changed the facilities, it's a real sort of nice clubhouse now. But we were talking a little bit off air about judging seasons and how seasons go.
Yeah.
And the club has stayed in the division it's in, but had a sort of real poor run of games. Sort of, well, I think the stat was winning 1-21.
Yeah, it's about that, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and before people sort of go, I've got the knife out for the manager. Mark Burgess is a big friend of mine. Mm. Played for me here and at sort of three other clubs. So that's not about Mark at all. It's really not, you know, but it's about how chairmen think. And some managers would have lost their job in that sort of run, Ian, you know. And I suppose I've got to ask you, because people would want to know, is, you know, did it cross your mind? You know, why didn't you? You know, those sort of situations where, you know, when do you sort of feel a run is as much as you can take? Mm.
I think it's not just a case of, was it a bad run? It's a case of, what are the circumstances that lead to the run? What are we doing about it behind the scenes? What advice can we give Mark? What's he doing? How hard is he working? Is he doing all the things that we expect him to do? And is he confident? Do we have the confidence that he was going to turn it around? It didn't happen. We did get slightly better towards the end, to be honest. But you also have to take into account that what would happen when you make a change? Will a new manager come in? Who's going to come in at that time of the season? Who's available at that time of the season? Will they be bringing in their own players? Will them players be better than what you've got? And will they be able to hit the ground running, or will that take time? And was there enough time? And weighing that all up, and Mark's history here, I felt that it was the right decision to stick with him.
Yeah, I think it's an honest Swampy, isn't it? Because, you know, and I think, to be fair, Swampy, what you wouldn't realise is Ian actually played, you know, he played the game, he was a goalkeeper, actually played for me a few times, didn't he? Come back a long time ago. But, you know, it probably helps Swampy, doesn't it, that the chairman has an understanding of the game.
I think so, certainly. If the chairman has played the game and has a love for the game, it certainly helps. It's interesting, I mean, Corby and both Frickley this season, late on in the season, both changed their managers. Both have been relegated. Corby 2 years on the bounce now from the Conference North now into the Northern Prem, either First Division or indeed Southern Division, depends what happens there. And it just goes to prove, you know, it's a very, very tough thing to decide whether to get rid of a manager when you're going through a bad run. And it's nice to see that, you know, even though the run slightly improved and Norwood has stayed up, the North would have stayed up this season, a chairman has confidence in his board and in confidence also in his manager. Mm-hmm. And that's nice to hear, really. And I suppose it does help if you have played the game as well, because you can understand what he's going through as a manager and the team are going through as well.
Well, I think you see it. You know, you get to see, you have a feel of it because you've been in and around the dressing room. But, I mean, as ever this time of year, Swampy, you know, the lawyers start to get involved now, because, you know, the clubs are now sort of putting appeals in for not being able to go up. You know, we spoke about Poole Town, Hungerford Town, Darlington, and Wilston. You know, I've just heard that Wilston have appealed now as well, because they had a chance of getting into the playoffs, but again, they don't have the 500 sort of seats required. You know, and it sort of, it always goes into a place now where I think no one's comfortable when it comes away from people getting promoted or not promoted through, not through the football pitch. It's a place that none of us are really comfortable with. I think that the point I'd like to discuss about it is this fair? Well, let's start with Ian first. Is it fair, Ian, that teams get themselves into a playoff position and aren't allowed to compete in the playoffs?
We spoke briefly about this off air, Dave, and you're torn on it because the clubs know the rules and that they know the cut-off dates to have the facilities in place for the following season. But as a club, if you're mid-table and then you go on a fantastic run and end up in the playoffs, at what point do you risk that financial expenditure to take your club up? We spoke briefly, and there's been many examples where even teams that have recently gone into the Premier League are now have to spend the relevant money to meet the ground criteria for the Premier League. So,
yeah, sorry to interrupt you. That was something that I wasn't aware of, and you know, you've said it's right. But apparently, Swampy, you know, sort of Bournemouth, when they went into the Premier League, their ground wasn't up to spec, and they got time to fix the ground. They were allowed to go into the league and then get the ground up to grading for the Premier League.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in all fairness, I think the ruling is so inconsistent. There are teams from last season that got promoted that wouldn't have actually passed this year's ground grading. One of those teams has been relegated, and I actually believe, and I won't mention them because it's not fair to do so, but if actually the division they've got into, I still believe that their ground grading is still not up to the standard it should be. But I was talking to some journalists and some football supporters during the week, and they were saying that the standards are going down to a degree, and that's why these ground gradings are in place to make sure that the quality is there. But for me, as you know, we just discussed there, there should be a bursary available to all football clubs to make sure that the grounds are of a good standard, which will only improve and help the players on the pitch, the supporters and everything. And with so much money, you know, the billions and billions floating around, it should be available to football clubs. But the other thing, just very quickly, the other very quick thing to bear in mind is Darlington. I mean, it's the only one team we can really talk about. Yeah. Because I know the history there. Obviously a football club that was trying to go back to their own, into their town to play football again after obviously the years of being a football league club. Actually on the ground itself, the town's water supply runs under their pitch. So to actually have anything done additionally, it would actually be absolutely incredible and take such a long time and also a huge amount of money to get it sorted. But also the absolute hypocrisy of it all for me is if they'd gone up as champions, they wouldn't have needed to upgrade. The only reason why they're having to upgrade is because they're in the playoffs. And that for me, you can go up as champions with a ground as it is.
Swampy, I think I don't think that's right,
It's right in this division.
No, hang on. I'm going to back my corner here. I think you're wrong, but I'll tell you who's going to tell us. Who? Listen, no one on the face of the planet's going to argue. I'd like to bring in Colin Peake, who's a spokesman for the National League. Colin, how are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning. Can I just say that the line where I am, having just been asked to come on, is not brilliant, so I apologise. I've only just heard the last minute of your conversation with Swampy, and I will tell him straight away he is totally wrong, and sadly this is one of the myths that have been bounding around for so many weeks. We've kept our council, because it's quite right we shouldn't speak when there's an appeal going on involving us, but now the appeals are over, it's time to put some facts on the table. Number one is, please read the ground grading regulations, which are available on the FA website for all grades from 7 up to step 1. And it clearly says in those steps that it is applicable to the champions and the playoffs. And please, Swampy, I don't want to fall out with anybody, but don't come on this show and say something which is totally wrong.
Go on, son.
Because it causes problems between the clubs.
Yeah, I think, well, that you could not have been more to the point, or straighter to the point, Piggy. And I'm going to sort of be the referee and agree with you and say Swampy is wrong and you're right. Let me ask you this. Do you think the system is fair as it stands? Let me add to that. We're very much of the opinion that whilst we understand that the ground grading needs to get better for it to go up different levels, could we not bring in a system where clubs guarantee if they go up, they have to have the extra seats or whatever in by maybe Christmas of the next season, otherwise get a 10-point deduction or something along those lines. So clubs are only spending money when they know they're through the door.
Well, Dave, let me clarify another myth. The issue of 500 seats is not something new, which I think Swampy alluded to in your previous programme that had been circulating around the country. It is not something new. It was not brought in last summer. This regulation has been on the statute books for 9 years. 9 years. The only change in the grading regulations affecting step one and step two for season 16-17 was the introduction, and it's one of your pet ones, which is artificial turf pitches.
Yeah.
Which, as you know, over the last 2 years, we've accepted it step two, and this year we accepted it step one. So the ground grading regulations were changed by the FA and the Leagues Committee, not by the National League, but by the Generalised Leagues Committee of all the leagues that are responsible for the ground grading regulation.
Okay,
can I move on to your second or your other point?
I'd like you to answer the question.
That the actual review takes place every year, and we can all have differences of opinion. I've got my own personal opinion.
Yeah, what is it?
My personal opinion is there can be some flexibility, but what happens, Dave, right, that we, or not us, any league, actually allows a club to go into the following season, right, on a specific thing that, well, let us do it then. And what happens when they don't do it? Once the fixtures have been made.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe a points deduction, or I don't know. I understand that. Yes, listen, I'm saying we're just talking it different ways. The one I've thrown up is that you at least the people are then spending money knowing that they are in the division, and anyone would have to give you a guarantee that the work would be carried out by, I'm only chucking dates around, by Christmas, otherwise that they get a deduction.
There are loads and loads of different opinions, and those opinions are listened to. Mainly, that with the Leagues Committee, there are people on there who represent the clubs. All right? This isn't just some lasered sort of bunch of half a dozen people. And furthermore, these regulations, another thing that was bounding around was, these regulations are only to suit the rich clubs. Well, let me tell you, in the National League, Brackley, East Thurrock, Maidenhead, Truro, I could go on, Oxford City, yeah. I could go on. Is anybody telling me they're rich clubs? Because they've done it. So we, as a league, and when you were a manager in the Ryman League has to apply the same. You actually representing, in our case in the National League, 68 member clubs who have all agreed these regulations. They vote on them at the AGM of the league every year, the same as the Ryman League would do, the Northern Premier League, the Southern League, and even the Sunday League if it comes to that, and I'm paraphrasing there, by the way. But you vote on it, right? And quite right, if somebody's not happy with it, why don't you stand up at a meeting and say so, rather than wait until it affects you?
Sure, I think you've made your point well. Excellent. It's been, better than normal. Let me put it that way.
Thank you, Dave.
I just want to bring Ian Barry in, because as a chairman, Ian, you know, if you're going to go from the level you're at now into the Southern Premier, it would be, wouldn't it? What wouldn't be needed here, in other words? Many seats you got here?
We have to have 150 covered seats at the moment.
For this level?
For this level.
What would it be if you went up? Do you know?
I'm actually not sure, Dave, to be honest.
Certainly would be more than not, that, yeah. What's the average gate here?
Our average gate is around about 100.
Okay, so it's 50 seats more than your average gate. So that's, I have a sort of a bone about that, a bone of contention about all that. But I do think that Peaky's right in as much as that people get to sit down and discuss it and sort of iron it out. Swampy, anything you want to come back with? Make it short.
In fairness, I'm going to have to listen back to the show because I didn't hear a word he said, in all fairness. So I'll have a listen back to what he said and I'll have a writer reply next week. And I'm sure if Peaky wants to come back on, we can have a debate about... it sounded like he was disagreeing with me, to be honest.
Well, let me say, he very much was, and your tail would be firmly between your legs if you'd have heard it, you know. But I just want to bring it, I want to bring it back to, you know, towards it. So what that will happen now is that if, say, Wilson can't go up or, you know, the sides above Wilson sort of can't go up, then it can work all its way down to maybe Hampton and Richmond. And I haven't got a league table in front of me, but they finish well outside of the playoff positions, could then get themselves a pass into the playoffs. You know, what do you feel about that, Swampy? So it works its way down, in other words.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, I mean, the three teams we've been discussing that have the appeal failed yesterday, the FA. Now, again, I'll just talk about Darlington quickly. I mean, what have they got to play for now on Saturday? Is that fair on those teams in and around them that are pushing for playoff places? Or should we have left it until after Saturday and then it would have been a fairer thing? In the same way, Witton Albion, they had a points deduction of 3 points. They never told the players, they never told the manager until the week after, and therefore they then knew that they weren't going up, but it made them play. For me, it's a very difficult one. Those teams below, you know, I mean, there's teams that sometimes, you know, finish 25 points below in sixth spot, now be going into the fifth spot and being able to have an opportunity of trying to get in. But as you say, their grounds might not be up to the right standards. So, you know, you could end up going down to sort of like mid-table and finding a team that has got the facilities and getting promoted, which is not the right thing. It should be about the football.
Yeah, and well, the other option is that whoever finishes second in the division, it's going to be Maidenhead or Ebbsfleet in this instance, gets a bye into the playoff final. Colin,
yeah,
sorry, Peaky. Is Peaky still there?
Yeah, Dave, I'm still with you. This line is very, very bad because I can hardly... it's almost like
I'm just saying,
third person with a chicken.
Sure,
can I just explain the rules again? The rules and regulations are there to cover the event that such a thing should happen. They have been on the statute books for years. It is no different. In Division 2, the playoffs go down to the 7th club. In League 2, they go down to 7th place. It is no different in the National League, and it's no different in the Ryman or the Southern or the Northern Premier. And can I just point out, it doesn't go below another myth that, oh, well, we'll finish up with Margate getting promoted just because they're the only ones with a ground.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous. And people have to stop coming up with myths that are circulating at the moment, which are not true. And I'm sorry to be very demonstrative about this, but it does really hurt you when you're trying to run a league on the regulations and rules that the member clubs, the 68 member clubs, not four of them, have agreed in policy and put in place. And I did just to finish this bit, I did think I heard something about Swampy say something about managers. Can I tell you at the moment that, as far as I am aware, not one of these clubs ever sat down with their manager and told them what's going on?
Yeah.
That is not the fault of the league. And if you're an ex-manager, David,
yep,
how would you think if all of a sudden you got towards the end of the season and you found this out and nobody had ever sat down? You're an integral part of the club, the manager. Right?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, I think, you know.
And also, just very briefly, we have to hold these appeals. That's why the 31st of March is. We can't wait till the final day of the season. Because what then happens to the playoffs?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's all making sense. I mean, I think that the thing is, Cole, do we get to a stage where if a club are not allowed to play in the playoffs because they haven't made the ground grading, do we then say, look, we're not going to let anyone else into the top six to compete. We're going to give the team that finished second a bye into the final.
I think I've got a little bit of a gist of what you said there, David. Yeah, the rules again, quite clearly, they're already in being. They're not going to be something the National League make up. If there is a shortfall and there are only three clubs to go forward, it is quite clear in the regulations that the highest placed club will go through and stage the final, and the other two will play off for a right to meet in the final.
Okay. Okay, well, that's plain enough. Colin, because...
To be fair, yeah, David, it's not a great thank you very line, much for allowing me to come on. The line is very, very yeah. bad, and which is unusual. It's just where perhaps we all are this morning. Yeah. But thank you very much for inviting us.
No sweats. Good to speak to you, mate.
A bit clearer. And we'll look forward to joining you again. But
okay.
We're always available to answer questions.
Thanks, Peaky. Thanks ever so much. Colin Peake, a spokesman for the National League there. And, you know, sort of, you know, we're moving into, you know, some of the playoffs have even started now. You know, one of my old sides last night, Slough, were beaten by Leamington in the Evil Stick Southern Premier semi-final. Leamington will now go and play Hitchin in the final. And it becomes an exciting sort of time, you know. Well, for everybody at that end of the table, Ian, isn't it? You know, and but it then extends your season a little bit as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and financially to go from mid-table till a playoff side, would that add a big increase to your budget to be sort of send your manager, I want you to make playoffs?
Our budget, as you know, when you left here about 6-7 years ago, it's we just pay expenses, and it's a very small amount. To increase the budget would have more implications financially for the club, and you have to ask yourself, is it something that you can afford? It sort of pains me sometimes when you have teams in a division who front load paying a lot of money. And then they cut their budget by Christmas. You know, you may have played them first part of the season. You're not playing them on an even keel in the second half of the season because they've cut their money. They weren't where they wanted to be. For us, the money is the same week one as it is week 40.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's not a lot, but the manager knows where he is, and I think that's important. It's playing budgets is discussed every week. It's mentioned by managers every week. A lot of it is myth about what certain clubs are paying and all this sort of thing, you know. That's where we stand as a club, and we're comfortable with that. I believe that, and this is our business model, is overachieving, which last season we did.
Yeah.
This season we haven't. So we'll have a look at why we didn't overachieve.
And why you did. And Swampy, you know, your own club is a different proposition than Ian's. And it's something that you won't make this year, but as a football fan, it's an exciting time, isn't it?
It is a football supporter. It's exciting. Also, as a commentator, we were at Witton Albion playoff the other day. It is very exciting. I'm not sure I wholly agree with the whole playoff system. I might like to tweak it a little bit for the benefit of, I think, football. But it is exciting, certainly, and it brings crowds in. And we've seen crowds certainly in the Northern Premier Divisions over the last 2 or 3 weeks getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we know of this weekend across the land, all semi-finals and finals, there'll be big, big crowds watching tentative football or brilliant football, because it is that squeaky bum time, isn't it? It's an interesting one. Playoffs, they are... There's something about them. It's one of those games you have to win it, don't you?
They're here to stay.
Yeah,
they're here to stay. I lost in two, so my memories of them aren't great. I do remember atmosphere wise, they were incredible, you know. But they're here to stay because the supporters love them, you know. I just want to sort of run through a couple of in the other leagues, like Thurrock beat Hornchurch, which is interesting because that's Colin McBride and Jimmy McFarlane at Hornchurch, who had a massive sort of career at Thurrock for a while, you know. So Thurrock beat Hornchurch and we'll play Maldon and Tiptree. In the Ryman North final, they beat Haringey Borough. In the Northern Premier League, the finals are set for Bank Holiday when Fardsley Celtic will take on us at Town. And an Evil Stick won North. Witten Albion face Spalding United. Division 1 South final, Spennymoor Town will take on Starbridge. This Saturday, Ryman 1 South final between Dorgan Wanderers and Corinthian Casuals. And to be fair, with the playoffs, Swampy, I know you've been sort of quite keen and involved. I think you were at Witten and Rushton during the week, but how's the week been for you with the playoffs?
Yeah, they've been really interesting to say that Witten Albion game against ASC Rushton and Diamonds. I mean, it's a 2.5 hour journey for the Rushton and Diamonds fans. About 150 to 200 turned up. Being on the evening by Witten, who finished second in the division, and they actually had a 3-point deduction a week before the season ended to put them into the second spot. So a good game of football, and they've got home advantage on Saturday in the final. Farsley, they beat Colne by 4-0. The big upset, really, I think, was Ossett Town. They won away against Scarborough. Scarborough have just finishing the new touches to their brand new ground. They're going back into Scarborough, and as a fan-owned club, they were highly fancied to beat Ossett Town, but Ossett Town won 3-1 away, which is fantastic. But the big game of the weekend, I suppose, is going to be Spennymoor versus Stourbridge. I mean, we've seen what Stourbridge done in the FA Cup this year. They beat Workington 3-2 after extra time, and Spennymoor, well, they played Nantwich. Nantwich, again, have played so many games this season. Good FA Cup run, good FA Trophy run, and that will be an absolutely fantastic final, and either of those two teams going up will grace the next division above. But I mean, Spalding, they went to an extra time against Stockbridge Park Steel.
And play Witten, that's the team you can remember.
Yeah, that's right, they play Witten. So you'd probably fancy Witten, because with Spalding playing extra time, and they were dead on the feet. I was with the reporter we spoke to, who said they were dead on the feet. They'd made all the substitutions, and Stockbridge Park Steel, we know all about them with Jamie Vardy, playing there for a little while. You know, they were lucky to get beat. But Spalding, they've been in third position all season, pretty much, and it looked destined that they were going to get knocked out, but they came through in the end against the Stockbridge Park Steels team, who had just come from nowhere into the playoffs, and all going to be really exciting. You know, I mean, I've got my own football club this weekend, FC United of Manchester. Nothing to play for, but a good occasion. But I would like to have been at least one or two of these games, because they do create excitement. They're all cup finals now, and it's who's got the nerve more than anything on the day.
It is, and to be fair, I mean, moving away, the other end of the league, you know, were you talking about who's got the nerve in cup finals? Last Saturday in the Ryman Premier, a league I'm money's in for many years, had one of the most unbelievable last days of the season as far as the bottom of the league's concerned. You talk about playoffs and nerves, but getting into the last day of the season, and I remember I looked at the table and was well aware of it, two sides had already been relegated. And I think it was something for the next two places, there was five or six sides who could possibly go down on the day. And if you think about that league of five or six teams, Horaborough were top of that little league, at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And by 5 o'clock, or it might have been a little bit later, it was probably about 5:15 because of the Hendon game, Horaborough actually get relegated. One of the sort of, and this can only happen in football, but Burgess Hill Town had to win. Went to, I think they were at home to against Merston. Were 1-0 up, and I watched this happen, as I say, on Twitter. They're 1-0 up, and in the 88th minute, Merston equalise. So Burgess Hill, from staying in the division, at 1-1, they're now getting relegated. 88th minute, 2 minutes to go. Horaborough have got a reprieve, and it's looking like that's what's happening. And in the 90th, I heard the 97th minute, but somewhere between 94 and 97 minutes, Sam Fisk of Burgess Hill came up with a goal that you just can't write. If it was in a comic book, you'd laugh it off to put Burgess Hill Town 2-1 up. Burgess Hill Town stay up, Harborough get relegated. And with a bit of luck, I've got Ian Chapman, the Burgess Hill Town manager, on the line now. Yeah. I did say, Ian, that I hoped you'd sobered up from Saturday night, because in all my time within that league and other leagues, it was an... were in the dugout at what was happening around the rest of the games.
I had a quick look on my own at half time and knew that obviously at half time was okay, but you know, when we got so late into the game, we just had to, you know, concentrate on what we were doing. I do feel that us going into it needing to win, it sort of made our minds up how we set out, how we went about it. But obviously when the game's going on, I can tell from the reaction around me that obviously someone was getting beat properly and that we needed to get the win. But you know, the way we've done it, I've never experienced anything like it all my time in football.
Yeah, and Sam Fisk, they must be making a statue of him as we speak. I don't suppose he had the bad drink Saturday night, did he?
Yeah, I mean, Fisky, to be fair, he's been with us a long time now, and I spoke to him a couple of days ago, because obviously after the game, he had a chance to speak in loads, and, you know, he said he asked the referee how long to go, and he said, you know, he said 15 seconds when the free kick was taken, you know, so it was, I think because of that, he decided to get himself right in the middle of the goals, you know, between the two sticks and gamble, and fortunately, it's fell to him. You know, and as I said before, it's one of them things. It was the emotions we went through. Obviously, we was in control of the game. 1-0 up, should have probably been 2-3 or 4 up. They had loads of chances. They've not really featured, and then they get a good finish from that from their half. We'd look at it differently, but they say good goal in the 88th minute, and then you're thinking, we're going down. We can't get the ball because they're playing the game. Put it in the corners. And obviously, you just want that one chance to load to go up and get in the box, and fortunately, we did that, and saved the rest of it. It was an unbelievable feeling after the release of it.
Did you know when he scored that you were okay? You knew that the win was good enough for you.
It'd be quite embarrassing, really, to be fair, because we celebrated this. We didn't know. But just it would be very embarrassing if we'd have gone down. But no, I just think the people around us' reaction. You could sort of tell that there was a couple of people in the dugout. We were just so desperate to get the result, and I think because of the way the game went, we didn't really have a chance to speak to people. We just had to just try and win our game, because obviously them scoring so late, it was a case of just try and stick with it, obviously to get the ball and get the goal so late, it was just such a relief, it was an incredible moment for the club. We got promoted 2 years ago. This felt better than getting promoted because of the way it went.
To be fair, and that was my next question, is it up there, bigger, better? It probably feels better because this is recent, but for the football club, it's probably as big as, isn't it?
I think so. I just think when you're we've been in this is our second year in this league, and to think, 46 games, and it comes down to the last 5 seconds of a game for you to secure your time in that league, to make sure you stay there. I think that's got to be bigger. I think with the league, we was quite in control of it and in points in front, and the way this happened, it was more like a cup final really on Saturday. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere felt more like a cup final. It's so hard, and there's obviously the teams that have gone down. I've played against them a few times. Those lads at the clubs, obviously, you do feel for them because it must have been heartbreaking for them as well the way the game went.
Yeah, it is, to be fair. And Steve Baker, Harrow's the last club I managed. Then Steve's a lad who played for me at Hendon. So yeah, I understand. Yeah. But it's a selfish sport, and as a manager, you have to sort of look after yourself.
He texted me a couple of days after and said, "Well done." He's a top lad, and he's hard for him. But as I say, I'm at Burgess Hill, and we were desperate to stay in this league. I say, it's only our second year of the club's ever been in this league, and it's a real difficult league. And when we're playing Merston, we know even Saturday we knew what they're like. They're unpredictable because they're really decent going forward. And I always felt that one goal wasn't going to be enough, and obviously it proved that in the end. That they scored late on and we had to go again. I feel that the teams have gone down, especially Canvey and Harrow, they've been bang unlucky, 52 points, 53 points.
Yeah.
Even us 50, I think between 21st and 13th, there's 5 points or something. It's been a real struggle this year because everyone can beat everyone. I think Gray's approved that, who got relegated.
Yeah.
And they beat Bognor, they beat Dulwich, such a competitive league. you know, and to have 54 points, to get the 54 points and only be a point away from me, to show you how hard it is.
Yeah, so you know, getting through that and staying up, you know, what's your plans, your immediate plans, and sort of when do you start thinking about next season?
Well, I'm actually meeting the chairman later on today. We're just going to go for a bit of lunch and chat about things, see where we can, you know, how to move forward. Well, it's been such a long season, to be fair. I'm actually looking forward to having the meeting today and putting it away for, getting a pre-season friendly sorted out and putting it away for a few weeks, because it's non-league football, but it's very time consuming. It's been stressful this year, you know, because of how it's been. You know, and I'm looking forward to having a couple of weeks break, I suppose, like most people are, you know, most managers are, just to get away from it a bit. And then we look where we need to improve. I feel last season, obviously we ended up near the bottom last year. We knew, obviously only three were going down, we ended up fourth and bottom. This year we've done that fifth and bottom. So it's, you know, it's, since I've been at the club, my first year in the South, we come eighth. Following you sixth, then we won it. We come fourth and bottom last year, fifth and bottom this year. So it is an improvement every year, and we want to keep doing that. But I spoke to the chairman briefly, you know, and we can't be in this situation again. You can't keep getting out of it like we are. And we need to find a way to move the club forward to try and, you know, get mid table in this league. That, you know, we know it'll be difficult, but that's what we've got to aim for, because it's, you know, we want to keep building the club and moving forward.
And I think as well, Ian, and I speak through experience here with my 3 years at Harrow, it's a tough way to play football when you're at that end of the table all year. It carries stress from August to May, really, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we look at, you know, certain times. I think what's been crazy this year for us is that early part of the season, our home form was terrific and our away form was poor. And towards the end, it sort of spun round, and we looked, all of a sudden we've maybe started winning games and getting results. And at home, we found it really difficult. And it's just, there's some real good teams in the league, and there's some real good players. And I don't mean to disrespect anyone, the budgets are quite different in the league, you know, from top to bottom. And, you know, we're obviously at the bottom end of it, you know, and that makes it really hard at times. You know, you come up against lads and you can beat, I think sometimes we've played all right and we've been beat purely because, I think they've got better players than us, and that's just a fact. But we need to find a way to keep moving forward. And as I say, we've what's nice now, it's done. We can move on and just try and build the club again.
Yeah, well, listen, you know, congratulations and the relief must be magnificent. Enjoy you'll probably get about 25 minutes off, because that's what managers get. Enjoy the 25 minutes off. And we'll speak to you soon, Ian. Thanks for joining us.
I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. Take care. Thank you.
And to be fair, Ian Barry, the chairman of Northwood, still in the studio with me. That poses a question, because I think Harrow might come down into your division next year.
Yeah, that's right, Dave.
I think there'd be a big chance that they'll go from Ryman to Southern, won't they? Yeah.
Yeah, you would think so, although we seem to be on a bit of a geographical cusp in this sort of area. So for us, we would very much like to have Harrow, another local game, and of course Hayes and Yedding as well.
Yes, Hayes and Yedding. Tim Fuel, the producer sitting across us.
And no disrespect to the teams that we've lost out of the division, Petersfield and Histon, but for clubs like us, you know, they're two local games.
And
that's the way we have to look at it.
More people, but then you're competing for the same players, I suppose. It has that sort of feel to it.
Just talking about sort of like that those situations where you look like you're doomed and you're gonna be going be relegated. Talking to Richard Sneakers, the Sutton Coalfield manager, and we know the pedigree Richard Sneakers has got as a footballer, both Premier League and Football League and international footballer. But the lower league managers, including himself, Sutton Coalfield were doomed. They were up against Workington. Corby had a home game against Coalfield with nothing to play for. Coalfield beat Corby by 4-1, and Sutton Coalfield went and got a draw away at Workington Town, who were in the playoffs. So, you know, the trials and tribulations, a heartbreak for some, great relief for others. But again, as you rightly said at the top of the show, it's just as exciting and heartbreaking being playing for playoff finals and finals itself as it is at the bottom of the division, because that can make or break a football club by being relegated.
Yeah, no, it is. And, well, listen, we're going to finish. We may as well finish at the very top. You know, if you're going to do it, you might as well win the the biggest league in non-league. You might as well win it with a game to go. You may as well have an FA Cup run that the whole world talked about. And to be fair, we ain't had him on for a while, but I'm delighted to welcome Danny Cowley, who's a friend of the show and indeed myself.
Good morning.
Listen, before we start to tell you how good you are, I'm actually in Northwood Football Club with Ian Barry, who's a Northwood chairman, and I said to him before the show, we've got Danny Cowley on later on. He went, "That's brilliant. Shall we remind him when we went to Concord and beat them 4-1?
Yeah, I do remember that day. Yeah, it was a painful one for us, but no, always had good battles against Northwood. I thought it was two teams that were really evenly matched, actually, and I think we should always have good games against yourselves.
Yeah, and that was good. It just made me giggle, you know, because from it seems like light years from then to where you are now. And you know, I've in introducing it, Danny, before we got you in the line, it's a season that dreams are made of, really, when you take the cup runs and the publicity, the money, you know, and beyond your wildest dreams, mate.
I think so. It's, you know, we've been really proud of what we've been able to achieve. You know, it's obviously a group of people that have all worked really hard. And I think from a manager's point of view, when you see your players and your staff working as hard as they have done this year, it's always really pleasing when they get the rewards that their hard work deserves.
Yeah, and, you know, within it, Dan, you know, it's when you look back on any season, there'll be one or two big points or a game or a moment in time that you look back on and go, yeah, that was massive for us. What would you say them one or two points off the top of your head would have been?
I think probably the first Forest Green game. We're 2-0 down at Forest Green, and Forest Green, if they win that game, we've gone 12 points clear. And it's on BT Sport, and the commentator in the game, we're 2-1 down with about 3 minutes to go, and he says that if Forest Green can hold out here, then they go 12 points clear. And we throw a long throw, comes in, and Luke Waterfall scores to make it 2-2. And then a couple of minutes later, Sean Maggot scores from a corner, we win the game 3-2. And that was definitely a turning point in the league. Probably beating Ipswich in the replay of the FA Cup third round game was another one that gave us a lot of belief, you know, and a lot of confidence that we were able to then take into our league form. And no, it's been, you know, the boys have been brilliant, really so consistent all season, and really proud of their effort.
Yeah, and to be fair, the one thing they've done is they've gone all the way to the end, you know, because as you said in those games, but you've picked up points late on at big stages as well, haven't you? Man United, like,
right.
Alex Ferguson,
yeah.
Like, nearly.
No, that's right. We've won lots of games late, lots of games. We go long in games. Obviously, we work really hard on their physical condition. We've got a lot of mentally tough boys, so we're geared up to go long in games. And I think it's a ridiculous stat, about 18 goals in the last 8 minutes of matches.
Wow.
So we've won lots of games deep into injury time, and makes for exciting football. And now it obviously picked up some valuable points.
Yeah, and preparations underway for next year, mate, or you get this one done?
Definitely.
First?
Literally, the game ends on Saturday, and we had some plans in place, but the closer we got to promotion, the kind of more focused you become on the here and now and trying to get the points that you need. But now that we've managed to do that, we can be a bit more strategic and try to put some plans in place and implement some of the ideas that we have to hopefully further improve the environment that we can provide for our players.
How have you dealt with the pressures? You know, what have you learned about the pressures, you and Nicky? You know,
I think we've enjoyed it. You know, to be in full-time football is something that Nicky and I both dreamed of, and you know, we've enjoyed every minute of it. But with regards to pressure, without a doubt, there's an expectation at this football club. I mean, we've gone from last year sort of an average crowd of about 2,500 to now averaging close to 6,000, and in recent games, see Saturday, we had 10,000 here. So it's definitely, it's a lot different to our days at Concord and Braintree. For us, I think from day dot, we've always we've always had very, very high expectations of ourselves and put a lot of pressure on ourselves. So I think when you do that, the pressure that we put on ourselves is so intense that no external pressure can even affect you. And you know, for us, it's always been our driver. We've always had really high standards of ourselves in terms of our work ethic. It's been brilliant. Honestly, I feel so blessed to be involved in full-time football and so lucky to be at such a wonderful club like Lincoln City.
Yeah, and to be further lucky to have you. I think that's a protective thing, because it's something that a lot of managers use, is they set standards within themselves, that they nearly go into a bubble that protects them from outside pressure. Because I think it's important that you work within the structure that you have and the people around you have. Because as you go up the scale and you're finding that out, Danny, it does get intense at times.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. And I think it's, you know, for us, we try to create an environment which revolves around hard work. You know, we try to bring a work ethic and an enthusiasm wherever we go. We love football. We feel really lucky to be involved in football, and we want people that are like-minded. And I think if you're able to sign like-minded people and you can get a group of like-minded people in the dressing room, then that can be really powerful. And we've got a lot of winners, a lot of fighters in the dressing room, and that's allowed us to get on the right side of a lot of games this season.
Yeah, and the last one, I suppose, before we rebuke and withdraw your non-league membership card, because that has to be sent back in the post now, is you're a Football League manager now, mate. How does that feel?
I know. It feels surreal. We haven't quite sunk in for Nicky and I. We keep looking at each other and saying, we have just won the National League, haven't we? And we are in League Two now. I just wanted to say this about non-league football. I've been so privileged to be involved in non-league football, and it's been, you know, I've had some of my greatest experiences in my life involved in non-league football. And it's real. It's really real. And just a lot of real people, all the volunteers, all the players, all the staff that are involved in it. You know, I love this level of football, and I feel really lucky to have been involved in it. I've learned an awful lot being involved in it, both in terms of football and in terms of life skills. And I will be forever indebted to non-league football, and I genuinely hope I never have to go back into it, because I want to try to move forward in my career. But I'll always remember my roots, and feel privileged to have had involvement with it.
Well, it has to be said, Danny, you've been reasonable company yourself, son. You know, you and Nicky and Ian Barry's just sort of asked me to pass on his and Northwich congratulations and best wishes, as Swampy has, as Tim, Caroline, and to be fair, Danny, I think the whole of non-league, you're always a massive competitor when we played against each other, but I think as you've grown and the way you've conducted yourself in this season, especially where you've got the publicity, you've really put non-league under the spotlight and come out of it with five stars. So
thanks, guys. I really appreciate that, particularly coming from you. And as I say, we really feel lucky to have had all the covers that we've had from you guys. And you do a fantastic job for non-league football. And Nicky and I send all of our love.
Yeah, well, I'll be getting up to get a beer with you at some stage. But until then,
without a doubt.
Danny Curley, Nicky Curley, and Lincoln City. See you later, as they say.
Cheers,
see you, mate.
Bye
bye.
See you, everybody. Bye.
Cheers,
now,
top man. And I would say, Ian Barry and Northwood, we're just about to wrap up, but nice way to finish, Ian, with Danny. And you know, obviously, we've played against him as we give him some stick.
Yeah, it's interesting, Dave, because when you see certain managers like Danny, he was let's say quite lively on the touchline. but you, like yourself, when I played for you many years ago, you end up looking at those people and seeing how they progress. And Danny was one of those people, if I'm honest, when he went from Concord to Braintree to Lincoln, then the publicity. It will be interesting to see how he fares in the Football League, and really the conversations with the chairman about what their expectations are, because so many times you see a club go from non-league to Football League. I think Jeff Stelling had a famous rant recently with somebody. I think it was Scunthorpe losing their manager after 11 games after getting promoted. How much time is he given to adapt to the level? And that will be interesting to see, I think.
Yeah. Well, I hope that their chairman's on the same lines as you with that. Mm. Although you wouldn't bet against them, the Cowleys. They've got that sort of...
No, they seem very level-headed, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah,
they've been ambassadors, haven't they, the pair?
Yeah,
they have. All season, ambassadors for football and the way they conduct themselves. And it's a lesson that other managers can look at those two, the way they've conducted themselves, the way they've had the professionalism, but also the ride's been great for them. And I think they would have been the same if they'd been fighting relegation. It would have been the same brothers doing the same things. And I think it's testament to the way they performed from last season to this season. And going forward, I think it's a good benchmark to look at those two and say, you know, it's not a bad path to follow the way the Cowley brothers conduct themselves in football.
Yeah.
Finally,
yeah.
For me, Dave, if you don't mind, just quickly. No. I think it's testament to them that the run they had in the FA Cup as well as the league is that, to me, is one of the most outstanding achievements that they've had.
That was my fear of them, was when they came out, when Arsenal beat them. They dipped straight after that, and it was a natural reaction. And my fear was that they wouldn't be able to pull the lads back up again. But, you know, they did and have comfortably done the job. Yeah.
Yeah. And with their late goals as well, that's testament to the way he's got them working for the whole 90 minutes.
His sides have always had that, to be fair, it would have to be said, you know. But listen, once again, time's got the better of us. And, you know, I'd just like to thank Northwood Football Club on behalf of the show and Ian Barry, the chairman, for one, hosting us, and two, you know, always coming in and having the chat's always good fun. My big mate up North Swampy, thanks for your help, son.
No problem at all.
And, you know, no doubt we'll be back next week. Don't forget to tell your friends we're on Audioboom, iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And of course today's podcast was sponsored by, who was it sponsored by, Swampy?
Pitch Hero.
Pitch Hero. 10 years of being at the heart of grassroots football. See you next time.
Double B A.